Luke chapter 5, and we want to talk about Peter tonight. Luke chapter 5, what we're going to do is we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to go down to the end of verse 11. What we might do, we don't do this every week, but if I can get you to be upstanding while we read the word, these 11 verses, and we remain standing, we'll pray, and then you can have a seat after that. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Dear Father, we want to thank you for this evening that you've brought us together. Thank you for the fellowship we can have. Help us, Father, this evening that they wouldn't be distracted by anything, that we'd be able to listen to what you have to say. Give me wisdom as well, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse we want to really focus on this evening is verse 5. "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." We want to talk this evening about the timeline, I guess, of Peter over this little tiny period here, and the idea of doing things that we don't want to do. Peter, we're going to get to it, had something in this verse he didn't want to do, something he'd been doing a lot and hadn't been working. We all have things we don't want to do. At work, I don't want to answer the phone. I will let that fella ring all day before I touch it, unless someone's looking at me and then I feel guilty and I have to answer the phone. I don't like answering the phone. It's a terrible thing, and I'm admitting it to you, but if you tell anybody else, no. There are things we don't like to do at work. There are things we don't like to do at home. Yeah, we're not going into details of the home. There are things we don't like to do at church. I don't love song leading. I don't do it very well. I can't hit any of the notes anywhere, and it's not fun for me or you. When I was a teenager, I absolutely hated mowing the lawn. We had probably only a quarter of an acre we had to mow, really. It wasn't that big a deal. We had a push mower, but boy, did I dislike that job. And I remember chucking at least one teenage tantrum trying to get out of it, and it didn't work at all. Peter is asked to do something here he doesn't want to do. But if we look in the verse, it says, Peter says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." He does it because it's what Jesus asks of him. We're going to look this evening at 3 points in Peter's 3 days of his life, or 2 days of his life. And the first one, we see in verse 5 when he says, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." First of all, we see a night of struggle. A night, the entire night. The first time we see the boat in this story is in verse 2. Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake. The fishermen were mending their nets, washing their nets. Jesus used that boat as a podium. He got it pushed out. He talked to the crowd. It was used greatly of him in that way. And then Jesus gives the fishermen some advice. If fishermen are like any other men, they don't love advice, especially something that we do all the time. Peter, as we look through Peter's writings and his life in the Gospels and in Acts, has a certain personality that you don't really expect him to take constructive criticism well by someone who's never touched a fish before. Not that Jesus hasn't done that. But Jesus gives the experts advice. We want to think before we go too far, why did Peter and James and John fail to catch any fish? Why did they not catch any fish? They toiled all the night. You assume they had two ships, they had a relatively successful business, they knew where the fish would be. They knew what time to go, they knew what nets to use, they had all the right tools, but for some reason, the word in verse 5 that says taken nothing, that word nothing means not one thing. Not one thing. Not a guppy swam through that net that night. There was nothing. They didn't even bring up seaweed. It's empty of everything. not even one. But Jesus says to them, in verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, if you want to say draught or draft, I don't care. But the idea of that word is a haul of fish. A haul. Not just a couple fish, not just your normal amount. Jesus says, do what I say, you'll get a haul of fish. A lot. But the question still remains, why didn't Peter catch anything? Jesus was wanting to teach them something. Jesus had a method that Peter didn't have, that wasn't used to, a different time of day, a different spot in the deep. We want to think about this in the idea of our churches today. Modern churches, we have all the machinery in place that we need. We have protocols, we have training every year before camp. We have, I don't know how many weeks in a row we have, we go over our soul winning, we do refresher courses, we do courses through the year. We have special times of the month, times of the year that we go over certain things, but we're still losing ground. The churches today are still losing ground. We're losing fish, if you want to put it that way. We shouldn't be. We should be experts at this by now. It's been 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus gave the Great Commission. We should have this so down pat that every fish that comes past, we snag. For some reason, we don't. We know this because people have free will, but it's also because sometimes we rely on these things instead of Jesus. Peter was relying on all the things that he knew to work instead of on the things that Jesus said. And Jesus was giving him a good object lesson here of the things that Jesus is going to do later. If we go to John chapter 15 very quickly, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 15 and verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. This verse is a verse of absolutes. This is not a verse of you might do this, or you should do this, and it might happen. He says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Ye are the branches. Without me, ye can do nothing. So if the fruit isn't happening, it's because of a relationship between us and Jesus. The relationship is broken somewhere along the way, and we're relying on things, on training, instead of the guy we should be talking about. And people who aren't saved can tell. People who are unsaved can tell whether you have a real relationship with Jesus or whether you are reading through the Romans Road in your head and you're hitting the high points and you're hitting the verses and you know what you're saying. Certain religions have creeds. They have things they memorize and they can spout them out, and they spout them out like robots, and they just blah, 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 and that's the end. And you look at their eyes and you don't see any understanding of what they're saying, any relationship with the Savior. All they have is those words. We don't want to become Christians like that. We don't want to have the protocols and the training and the experience down, but we lose the relationship with Jesus himself. Peter is exhausted. Peter has spent all night in the wet. He's cold. His nets need washing. So he's not even finished work yet. He probably went out when the sun went down. Now he's back. The sun's been up for a little while. He's still working. And not only is he still working, he's working with nothing to take home. This wasn't like today. There was no Centrelink. If he didn't get any fish, he didn't get any money. He also had two boats to look after, at least two guys working with him. And it wouldn't take very many trips like that for Peter to have to sell his boat. So not only was he exhausted, he was also very discouraged. This has worked all the other times. There's a reason that the Bible gives us the example of he didn't catch anything this night, because every other night he was probably pretty good. And so there's an outlier here. There's an outlier, and he goes and he fishes and he fishes all night. And normally he wouldn't have to fish all night. Normally he'd just fish till the boat was full. But it took him all night to get to the point where he said, we are not catching anything. Let's go wash some nets and go have a sleep. He gets to the shore and this guy wants to use his boat. This fella, with a whole crowd of people looking at his empty, empty boats. That's bad advertising. That is not good advertising. Come down and look at my boats. There's no fish in them at all. And the whole crowd's looking, and Jesus is sitting in an empty boat, and Peter's despondent. He's just thinking, I'm cold, I'm hungry. My wife's going to ask me how it went. I haven't even got fish for her to eat. But the important thing in that story, in that point, is he gets through that night. He gets through that night and into the next point. Peter could have left early. He could have gone home. He could have quit. And Christians, we do that all the time. We have that night of suffering. We have that hard time where someone teases us, where we feel alone, and we go, that's it. Never going back to church. I'm going home. You guys can suck on lemons. I'm never going to talk to you again. if we don't make it through, if we don't push through that night of struggle, we never make it to the morning. You have to push through. We talked a little bit about this last week about doors being closed. We're not going into that again. Sorry if I ranted last week. We'll leave it there. But the night of struggle is over, and now we have in verse 5 the morning of surrender. Peter's exhausted. Not one fish. No money. Let's look at verse 5 again. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He gets to the point, he's listened. He's listened to Jesus teaching the crowd. He hasn't just been washing the nets. It's been sinking in what's going on. He doesn't just say, guy, get off my boat. He says, Master, he's been listening. Something's been sinking in. Even though he was going through a rough time, he was still in the presence of God. He was still in the presence of the Lord, of sound doctrine, and it comes through when he talks to Jesus. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. I want us to think before we go too much further about the physical relationship between Peter and Jesus at this point. When Peter had caught nothing all night, where was Jesus? Jesus was on the shore. Jesus was far away. Jesus was at an arm's length. Where is Jesus in our life? Have we got him on the shore? Is he at arm's length? Because if he is, we're going to have an empty boat. We're going to have an empty life. The blessings are not going to be there like they are if you have him close. And then Jesus is in the boat with Peter, by his side. And all of a sudden there's a full boat. Not just a full boat, two overflowing boats. They caught more than two boats worth because they were sinking. And that's from one net. Now, I'm not sure about most fishermen, but normally you'd think a net wouldn't equal more than a boat size. If you catch a net full, it's not going to destroy your boat. This was two boats worth in one net. I kind of think the fish were jumping in. I feel like at some stage the boat was so full, Peter's throwing out the little ones. He's just like shoveling them. You know, like a dog does, trying to get all these scaly things off the boat. And they're coming back. And he's throwing them out and they're jumping back in. They're hitting him in the face. He's going, what is going on? He's signaling the other boat. He's getting attacked by fish. What is happening? Just last night, there was no fish in this whole lake. And all of a sudden, all the fish in the lake are in my boat. And he's trying to figure out what is going on. All these blessings happen when Jesus got close. When Jesus came into his boat, came into his life, all of a sudden, not only are the blessings being caught, the blessings are hitting him in the face, jumping into his boat. He's slipping on them. Anyway, we'll leave that alone. What made the difference? What made the difference to an empty boat and a full boat? Firstly, where Jesus was. And secondly, the obedience of Peter. No fish would have jumped in the boat if Peter didn't throw out the net. It took a physical act. It took a step by Peter to say, I will do this. It took submission. It took surrender. Surrender to what Jesus wanted him to do. I don't think Peter wanted to do it. I know I wouldn't have wanted to do it. As Christians today, we get to the point where we don't want to do anything else. Where we've worked at youth group on Friday night and we've worked through Sunday. And I occasionally feel like this on Sunday afternoon before I go to Ravenshoe Bible study. I've worked all week, I've worked all weekend, now I've got to go talk to some ladies, I've got to drive all the way there, I've got to drive all the way back, I could be sleeping. The thing is, I never sleep at home anyway, I've got two little boys. But, and I talk to God, I go, God, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I'm sweaty, I probably smell like a gymnasium, I want to go to sleep. Nevertheless, my name is on the schedule. I'm going to go to Ravenshoe. And I have never once regretted going to Ravenshoe. Those ladies are the most thankful to get somebody out there speaking to them. They are always so happy to see anybody that comes. If anybody wants to get a blessing, jump in whoever's car is going out to Ravenshoe next weekend. I think it's probably Isaac. I think you're next weekend. Was it today? In 2 weeks' time, whoever's on, go with them. Those ladies are so excited to see everybody, even me. It's weird. For Peter to get to the point where he got the blessings, he had to surrender. The Bible gives us examples in the Bible of things or the people we need to surrender to. We're going to turn to a few verses now. I got time. Okay. James chapter 4 and verse 7. There's a couple in James. So keep your finger in Luke. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Surrender to God. This is basic. This is Sunday School 101. Surrender to God. Out of all the things you need to surrender to, God is the first one. Without that, nothing else really matters. In James chapter 1, verse 22, there's also a surrender to the Bible. 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You've got to obey the Bible. That's sometimes hard because it's so black and white, and most of the time, this is sin. This is something you need to be doing. This is something you need not to be doing. And that's rough, because we don't like getting told what to do. I don't think Peter liked being told what to do, as Jesus told him what he needed to do to catch those fish, but he did it, and he was blessed for it. Ephesians 6 talks about submitting to parents. We're going to go to Hebrews 13, because this is one that we need to talk about a little bit. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We need to surrender or submit to our spiritual leaders. Once again, that's a hard thing to do. We don't love submitting to anybody. But when a man stands up and gives you moral absolutes, it makes it harder to feel kindly if it pricks you. They're standing on the ground of the Word of God, and it's hard to argue with that. And the harder it is to argue, the more you want to argue. That's me, at least. That might not be you. Back in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus tells Peter, Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. At Jesus' word, Peter lets down the net. He didn't fight. He mentioned some things. We don't want to be Christians that fight the Lord's commands. We don't want to be Christians that fight the Lord's requests. Jesus tells him what he should do. And Peter has the opportunity, I think, to say no. No, thank you. But he doesn't. He understands the power of the man a little bit. He understands the knowledge, at least, of the man standing in his boat with him. And he gets to the point where he's willing to surrender his time. He's already been fishing all night. He's going to surrender his energy. He's going to surrender the very physical things he owns. Every time you take a boat out, there's a chance it doesn't come back. They've already made it back to shore. He doesn't really want to take it out again. You've got wear and tear. He's surrendering all of these different things as he goes. Not just, I will do what you say, I'm surrendering my will. He's surrendering his time and his energy and the physical things that he owns and the physical things that his friends own and their time and their energy. But when he does, this amazing thing happens. Let's read it. Let's go to verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. So it was a broken net. It wasn't even one whole net. It was a broken net that caught two shiploads of fish. And at this point, we see a change in Peter. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, a couple of verses ago, he didn't say Lord. A couple of verses ago, he said Master, Teacher, someone, Rabbi, someone with some experience, someone with some teaching pedigree. But now he sees Jesus. He really sees Jesus. And he says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And this is the turning point for Peter. And from this point, he goes from the morning of surrender to the future, to the tomorrow of satisfaction. Verse 11. Actually, let's go for verse 10. Just near the end, we'll see Jesus, if you're looking at the red words, Jesus says to Peter, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is the beginning of the rest of Peter's life. Peter goes, he becomes a disciple, he becomes an apostle. He travels all around spreading the gospel with Jesus and then after in Acts as well. But in these verses, they saw God's power. They saw his teaching power. They saw his power over nature itself with the fish. They heard God's plan in verse 10, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And not only did they see God's plan, but they found their purpose. I always wonder if Peter fished for those first 20 or 30 years of his life and thought, there's got to be more than this. Something's missing. It's just a fish. I caught this same kind of fish yesterday, and I'm going to catch the same kind of fish tomorrow. Peter would have known that there was more for him. And when Jesus came into his boat, He gave Peter a purpose he hadn't had until that point. It would take a lot for a fisherman to forsake all of his boats and follow a carpenter onto the land. Fishermen are one of the trades that, and people on the sea, they seem to get very connected to it. They don't really want to leave it. They love to be around it. But for Jesus, Peter, James, and John forsook. They didn't leave. They didn't tie up. They didn't lend to somebody else. They forsook. Forsaking has the idea of turning your back on and never coming back. It's a very strong word. When I think about it, I think about the invasions that happened through history where they landed on the shore, they wrecked their boats. William the Conqueror did it. Julius Caesar did it once. There was somebody else, and I can't think who it was. Who? Cortez in South America, yes. Got to shore, and they didn't go, you know what, in case this doesn't work, we're going to keep our boats just here, if you guys need to know. They're there, the keys are there, take them if you want to go home. They forsook. They burned them. They pulled them down. They drilled holes in them, whatever it was, to say, there is no going back. I'm forsaking that. I'm moving forward. And that's what Peter did here. We know Peter had moments of weakness. We're not blaming him for that because we know we do too. But you can see the motivation here when he forsakes all. Straight away, if you look in the verses to come, Jesus heals a leper. It just pops up out of nowhere. Peter, James, and John walking along with Jesus, going, this guy can talk to fish. That's pretty cool. And then he heals a leper, a man with the most terrifying disease, I think, at that time that you could have. Just terrifying. It was unpredictable. You didn't know who was going to get it or where they were going to get it or how long they would live. And it was so catchy. Everyone was terrified of it. Jesus just heals this man. The wonders that Peter, James, and John see through the ministry of Jesus from this point on would boggle our minds if we sat down and we thought about it. And we think about these three simple fishermen following Jesus and seeing him do these things that they heard about. You know, you'd hear about the old prophets Elijah and Elisha doing amazing things, but that was so many years ago. And now there's this man walking around doing the same things. He's fixing demoniacs, and he's giving sight back to blind people. He's raising people from the dead. And all this stuff, and they're going, man, I'm so glad I left that boat behind. I don't care what happened to those fish. It doesn't say they did anything with the fish. They forsook it all. Maybe in a big stinking pile for a while. We don't actually know what happened to it. But they got satisfaction. They got an answer to the questions they didn't know they were asking that came from their surrender, that came from Peter saying in verse 5, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. We don't know what the Lord is asking us or will ask us to do. It's probably going to be difficult. He doesn't ask us normally to do super easy things. You can get anybody to do those. Jesus is going to ask us to do things that we have to think about, that we have to count the cost, that we have to go, I've been working hard. Do I want to fit this in? Do I want to do this as well? Nevertheless, at thy word. What's Jesus asking us to do that we don't want to do? What's the net? What are we holding our nets back from? What blessings are we unwilling to throw our nets overboard for? We have no idea. It's just under the surface. God wants us. Jesus didn't make them catch those fish one by one. He just made them throw the net over. That's all they had to do. What blessings is God waiting to give us? It's just under the surface, the fish that are floating there, the blessings that are just there that we can't see. And Jesus is waiting for us to go, all right, because you've asked me to do that little thing, I will do that little thing. And the blessings that will sink our boats. And then what purpose is God waiting to show us? I remember in high school, everybody asks you, what do you want to be when you grow up? I was like, I'm not going to grow up. And they've been right. But there's a purpose. God is waiting to show us a purpose. Some of us have found it. Pastor's coming to the end. He just, this week, is 50 years in Australia. God showed him a purpose. There's a purpose for all of us if we're willing to do that little thing, if we're willing to throw that net over. God's asking us to let go of something. You can't fish if you hold on to the nets. You have to let them go. They have to be tied to something, but you have to let them go. The question that God asks me in this story is, are you going to let down your net? Are you going to hold it into your boat and go, you know what, I'm doing all right the way I'm doing it, and I'll just try again tomorrow and see how I go? Or am I willing to take that tiny bit of risk that Jesus asks me to do and throw that net overboard and see what God is waiting to supply me and to see what purpose God is waiting to give me? We're going to pray and pastor's going to come up, but I want us to think about this week. What net am I holding back from God's blessings? Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you again for this day that you've given us. Help us, Lord, this evening. Help us this week to be looking for opportunities to let down our nets. Help us, Father, to be looking for the blessings that you want to give us to the purpose you want to supply us. Lord, I pray you be blessing us this week. Help us, Lord, to give you the glory, whatever happens. In Jesus' name, amen.